Each year on September 14th, we celebrate the Feast of the Triumph of the Cross, also called the Exaltation of the Cross. This feast has been celebrated by Christians since the 4th century, commemorating the pilgrimage of St. Helena to Jerusalem in search of relics of the original cross of Jesus. The feast highlights the paradoxical nature of the cross. How can something that kills also be a source of life? How can something that looks like defeat be a sign of victory? It's a paradox that all three of the readings from the lectionary today ponder. Let us focus in on the second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Coming into human likeness and found in human appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. The cross of Jesus is such a common sight for Christians, so much a part of our everyday life, that we don't often give it much thought. Indeed, as Catholics, we've become so utterly comfortable with making the sign of the cross in our own bodies that it rarely even gives us cause for pause. We use it to open and close meal prayers. Baseball players repeat it superstitiously as they come up to bat. In my family, we made the sign of the cross when ambulances pass. We had it marked upon us when we were baptized and forevermore repeated the gesture when entering a church and dipping our hands in the holy water font. Since childhood, we've made this sign over our lips when the gospel was to be read. We do it again when we prepare to depart the church building. Of course, we're not the first generation of believers to do so. Way back in the 3rd century, we find the writings of the apologist Tertullian, who describes how our ancestors in faith constantly signed themselves. He says, at our coming in and going out of the house, while dressing, while putting on our shoes, when we are taking a bath, when we light the lamp, when we go to bed or sit down, and in all the ordinary actions of daily life. Clearly, the cross is a sign that has permeated the lives of Christians from the earliest days of the faith. But what are we proclaiming by our constant lifting up of this sign? Obviously, the sign of the cross is first and foremost the sign of Jesus of Nazareth, who died by crucifixion outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, but who on the 3rd day rose again. In his death and resurrection, we believe, as Paul highlights in this passage to the Philippians, that we see the purest crystallization of how God works in the universe, constantly exalting the humble, making great the lowly, turning the impossible into possible, transforming what looks like the end of life into ever more abundant life. When we make the sign of the cross on our bodies, we're proclaiming that we belong to this Jesus. He's our shepherd, and the cross given to us at baptism is like a branding denoting that we're members of his flock and enjoy his tender care and protection. But more than that, we're proclaiming that our lives, like his, have a paschal shape to them, that our journey, like his, involves death and resurrection, involves letting go so that more abundant life can emerge. The Apostle Paul, elsewhere in his letter to the Romans, urged Christians to put on Christ. And symbolically, that's what we're doing when we pray the sign of the cross. We're signifying our desire to put on Christ. What would it look like if we fully lived the sign of the cross, the sign that we pray every day, most especially so today? What would it look like if we intentionally and consciously embraced Paul's invitation? Perhaps we would continue to discover at ever deeper levels how the meaning of life is not pleasure and comfort and security, but in emptying and letting go and risk. Perhaps rather than defending and buffering ourselves against the world, we would learn to open our arms wide and embrace the world in new ways. Perhaps we would find within ourselves the courage that Jesus possessed in walking directly into suffering and death rather than running away. And perhaps our griefs, our angers and disappointments in life will give way to a steady, unquenchable hope, a sure confidence that in the end, what looks like defeat is really victory, and what looks like the end is really just the beginning.